Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mafia is a huge fan of the Bucks, but not tonight because he bet on the Warriors to win and they're losing 80-64. He's very angry. We're coming to you from the Quicken Loan Studios in New York. National mortgage lender, Quicken Loans apply. Simply understand fully. Mortgage confidently. And we all know the deal, right? CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line, 855-212-4. CBS is brought to you by Geico. Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you can save 15% or more on car insurance. So we talked earlier tonight about Notre Dame and their quarterback situation with Ian Book. We had Douglas Farmer on talking about it. He covers the Irish for NBC Sports. And then, that Wimbush is playing in this game against Florida State. It's a huge story, to be honest with you, because they made that change to Bush Book, and they've never been the same. They played certainly a different level of football than they did under, Wimbush as the starter. And now here he is going to play against Florida State. How do you think he's going to do? That's the question, because, I mean, I think they were laying like 18. Somebody said it's 15 now, something like that. And then we also had Wake Forest coach Dave Clawson on after their stunning win at Raleigh against NC State. I think people are a little overvaluing NC State tonight, Mafia. They're a good football team. They were 6-2, and now they're not. So it was their senior night, and Wake Forest ruined it. It is what it is, but, it's a big win for him. I won't deny that, but I think that the value on NC State started dropping after Clemson put a beating on them, like Clemson does everyone else, but everyone thought that NC State was going to give Clemson a game, including me.
Yeah, I was with you on that one. I had put money on them in that game. I thought they were going to make it tight. I didn't think they were going to win, but I thought they were going to give them a challenge, make them work for it. Instead, they just got right, run off the field. Then they came back a couple weeks later. They fall again. I think it was actually the next weekend that they just blew it again. What was it, the Syracuse game they played the next weekend? They got their butts kicked too. I mean, it's faded really fast. But, this was one where you're facing a guy who hasn't started in his career. You're at home. You're a 19.5-point favorite by kickoff. And
19.5. It opened at like 21, didn't it?
Yeah, something like that. I mean, they're just big, three touchdown favorite essentially, and you just don't show up.
So they were undefeated, and now is that correct? No, they had lost to Clemson, lost to Syracuse by 10, then they beat Florida State last week, and then lose tonight. So they've lost 3 of 4.
Especially, it wasn't like the first time that Wake Forest has beat like a top 25 team on the road or something like that. So I mean, this isn't a team that's had success upsetting people, and you just let them run roughshod over you. I mean, it was tight, but you should have blown them out, and they end up winning.
Well,
in the
now
last
they move.
Seconds of your game.
They move right underneath Syracuse in their in the Atlantic Division of the ACC. Now, Wake Forest isn't going anywhere. I mean, they're 3-4 in a conference, 5-5 overall, but they're headed in the right direction with a win like this tonight for them. Anyway, I think you got to give them credit.
Yeah, and this is a team that also gave Notre Dame a tough test early in the season. They made them work for it. They're not a team that's going to, jump up and get big wins all the time, but this is a good start for them. The program's moving in the right direction, it seems.
So this guy, Pete, apparently got clipped doing a buck 20 in Miami. What's going on, Pete?
Hey, what's happening?
What was the charge they gave you for driving a buck 20?
No, I didn't get written. The FHB guy got out of his car. He was laughing so damn hard he could hardly walk.
So
I pulled over and waited on him. He got out of his car laughing. He goes, "Listen, I've been doing this 18 years. Nobody's ever pulled over and waited for me." I said, "Listen, I seen the sign. I had it up to 145. There was nobody on the road. It was 4:45. It was 5:45 a.m. on a Saturday morning.
Wow.
I'm headed up to Ocala, and the turnpike ends at Wildwood.
I know where it is.
It's fine. I was doing 145 in a Lexus, my wife's Lexus. I was going up to see my wife and daughter. They went up on Friday with their cousins, and I had a school. I was a PO off also, but I was city of Hialeah. And I was on my way up to see them Saturday morning.
Right.
There wasn't another car on the road, so I said, let me see what this Lexus would do.
Right.
I went up there, I got it up to 145, and I started saying, this is a little too fast. Let me just start coasting.
You didn't think at any point that you were going to maybe get pulled over doing a buck 50, you know, that you might possibly see? Like, because in Florida, I lived in Florida, there's, you know, there's a cop, there's a state trooper in Florida on every highway about every 2 miles.
There wasn't another car on the road. He was coming the other way, but I'd already slowed down coasting to 124 when he finally hooked me.
It's unbelievable.
And I really had me because I seen him do a U-turn right in the swale and come for me, and I just kept coasting. I never did touch the road.
And what was the ticket? Did he give you a ticket?
No, he got out of his car laughing. I told the tour booth lady, I said, listen, there's an FHP hauling butt to get me. Tell him I'll be parked right over there waiting on him.
It's an unbelievable story. It just keeps getting bigger. I can't keep track of it.
How big was that fish? Like, I coasted at 120. That's not coasting.
No, no. He was doing a buck 45. He made that perfectly clear.
I was ramping it down. You know, I ramped it down.
He saw a sign. A sign from God, maybe. I don't know what kind of sign. You're doing a buck 45. Welcome to the Sunshine State. With all of that gorgeous.
To the Sunshine State.
Yeah. So anyway, the Bucks are up 87-69 on the Warriors, who seldom come out to play. Henson with a follow dunk. It's now 89-69. They're up 20.
I still think the Warriors will win.
Still think they'll win. And it begins here with a three, but he misses Curry. Clanker off the rim. And the other game I'm watching is pretty good, too. Blazers up 6 on the Clippers with 3.5 minutes to go. And they just continue to score. Henson again. Steve Kerr is ready for a timeout. He's had enough. Are they going to call the timeout? No. Durant is going to go to the hole. And he bricks. They missed the follow. Look at the Bucks blowing out the Warriors on a 3-on-1. Cash money. And the foul. Woo! You don't see this every day, do you? And you still think they'll win. Carver High, no doubt they're going to win. Down about 20 right now. It's worse than that. 93-69.
They'll win.
They'll win. 24 right now. Mafia, you think they're going to win?
I'm hoping so. I can't have every team I bet on tonight screw me.
They're going to come back from 24 down and win the game?
Panthers did nothing. The Celtics messed around so much that they only cover by, you know, they win by 7 instead of 9. They're laying. Clippers aren't doing too good right now. Everyone's just trying to kill me.
So, committee clearly cares about head-to-head consequences, including Notre Dame over Michigan. So, and the Irish have to stay unblemished. You suffer a loss and all everything changes. Notre Dame versus Florida State. Then versus Syracuse, then at USC, Michigan against Rutgers, then at Indiana, Ohio State. They go to potentially a Big Ten championship game. Don't they have to win that game to go to a Big Ten championship game? No? I wonder if they have to win it to go to the Big Ten championship. I can't think of that off of the top of my head. I'm not capable of doing that off the top of my head, to be honest with you. But I'll look at the standings. Everything takes like 20 minutes in here to do because of the computers are from 1974. But I'll say this. They're on top of the East, and Ohio State is 5-1 right below them. If Ohio State beats them in Columbus, then that would be their first loss. They both have one loss. Ohio State's loss would be at Purdue. And then, you know, but if you beat them head-to-head, right, aren't you going to win the conference? You're going to win the division, right? You beat them head-to-head? That'll be the next thing. If they have the same record, they go head-to-head, and head-to-head will mean Ohio State will get it, and Ohio State will play Northwestern, it would appear to me, right, for the Big Ten championship if Northwestern, you know, finishes and handles their business. Not that anyone cares because they blew their chance against Notre Dame, but they have Iowa on the road, Minnesota on the road, and Illinois. I think their hardest game is this week at Iowa City against the Hawkeyes at Kinnick. Seriously, because I think they can win in Minneapolis, and I think they can beat Illinois, but Minnesota's in dead last. Illinois' 2-4 in the conference. Northwestern should handle their business. This is the game where they might get caught. And then Wisconsin is, you know, 4-2 in the conference. So they would be tied with them if they get caught. Let's say Northwestern loses at Iowa and Wisconsin plays at Penn State. This is a huge game for Wisconsin. If they can beat Penn State, because Penn State's not winning anything in the Big Ten. They're in the middle of the pack in the East at 3-3. So it's a huge game for Wisconsin. You may think it's huge for Penn State, but it isn't. Penn State, 6-3, their season's over. For now, you're just looking to go to a nice bowl game, right? That's it.
Yeah, they're done. All they're playing for now is, you know, if they're going to be playing on New Year's Day or if they're going to be playing in the Bourbon Bowl. That's pretty much
right.
All that, you know, what's in for them right now.
That's it. So, but Wisconsin's still got a lot on the line. So can they handle their business at Beaver Stadium on Saturday? It's at noon. It's a daytime game up there.
That'd be no.
So you think Wisconsin will lose that game?
I do.
I think
along the lines of Nittany.
But do you think that at any point, like, you know, Penn State realizes they're shot, it's over, and they're just not, they don't have it in them?
I think they got one more in them. They'll play for a little pride on Saturday.
For their overrated coach? Is that right? I'd like to see that. Like, I want to see it to believe it.
I can't stand the coach.
Why is that?
I just don't like him.
That's good enough for me. You just don't like him, so there you go. I'm down with that. I just want to see what they're, you know what, I don't even know why I'm doing this. It doesn't even matter what their schedule is, right? I just want to see what their schedule is, who they have left, because I think they've lost all the games that matter. It's true. Wisconsin's their last tough game. They play at Rutgers, and then they have Maryland at home to end it. So this is it for Penn State. This is the last game that matters to them. They've already blown every other game. The Ohio State game they lost. Remember they were up, and they let Ohio State score in the last minute? And then Michigan State went there and beat them at Beaver Stadium, too. I don't even think they're good, right? So, I'm starting to think if Michigan State can beat them there, Wisconsin can beat them there. I mean, Wisconsin already has Penn State's record. They have the same record, but Wisconsin has a winning record in the Big Ten play. So, that's why I still think they have a shot. I really do. Just like Carver High thinks the Warriors and Mafia have a shot to still win this game. They're down 96-73. All that's left. The problem is that there's a full quarter left and 2.5 minutes, right? They're still in the third. 855-212-4CBS to get on the bench.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
So the Greek Freak has to sit now with 5 fouls. He's in trouble. And the entire fourth quarter to boot, 103-79 Bucks. They've looked good tonight, but now they're star players in big-time foul trouble. Oh, did you see that shot Brogdon just made? You got to be kidding. Are you serious? Are you serious? Did you see that leaner at the shot clock? He drilled it from the wing with no time left on the shot clock with a guy all over him. That was beautiful. And the Bucks right now still hanging, kicking the Warriors' ass tonight at Oracle. Let's see if the Warriors can come back. 105-79 going to the fourth. In the East Bay, 855-212-4227 to get on the bench. Brad in Cleveland on the Fan.
How you doing, Pharrell?
Hey.
Hey, man. Well, I'm enjoying seeing Golden State get their butts kicked for once.
Right.
It doesn't happen often.
I know.
But, you know, calling here from Cleveland, we're 1-10. I mean, I thought before the season started, the Cavs would lucky to win 25 games. A lot of the local yokels here thought, oh, we're going to go 500. We're going to, you know, get close to the eighth seed. I knew all along that that was a pipe dream. I knew Kevin Love was going to get hurt. I didn't think he was going to get hurt within the first week of the season. But right now the Cavs are on a historical pace to win about 7.5 games.
Isn't that guy literally in his career? Like, I think Kevin Love can definitely play. There's no denying the guy has talent and NBA-level skill, and he's done, you know, some things in the league. For sure, he scored a lot of points. But, you know, he's always injured. if you ask me. Am I missing something here? Or is that guy always got something wrong? Broken hand, this, that. It's always something. It really is. Now he's out again. And it just, to me, it's like it never ends. Like, am I wrong that guy's always injured? Seriously.
Never plays.
I mean, honestly. And so their seasons, I mean, you're 1-10. You're in big trouble, mister. I don't even know how you recover from that. They're so awful. Like, here's the deal. The Wizards are just as bad. They're 2-8. They play tomorrow. And I think it's like an absolute must win for them. They absolutely have to win that game tomorrow. And I don't think it's that big of a deal. They're playing at the Magic. I think they have to win the game. I mean, the Magic are, you know, at least a game and a half ahead of them already. They're in last place, the Wizards. And you have guys like Wall and Beal, seriously, Otto Porter, all these guys on that team, Morris. Think about it, that they're 2-8. You don't. I mean, this is desperation time, isn't it? When you're 2-8, you got to win that game. Your season's over. You keep losing like this. There's no way. How do you get out of that slippery well? You know, you're like down in this slimy, slippery well. You're not getting up the wall. And the Cavs, to me, are toast. And what I'd really like to know the deal about, I don't know enough about it, but maybe you know, Brad. Put him on. Do you know anything about why the players hate Colin Sexton?
I think there's a big divide on the team between the young guys and the veterans. Like it's almost like the team is divided into two factions. You know, the guys that won the championship with LeBron and made it to all those finals, and these young up and comers they brought in, like Clarkson and Sexton and Larry Nance and Rodney Hood. So the team is sort of like made up two different factions. I think the older guys think Sexton, especially in the first 2 weeks of the season, a lot of turnovers. He wasn't, you know, just up to par on defense, even not even offense. And I've actually been disappointed myself with Sexton. I mean, this guy, he was toast by Trae Young, just destroyed him in the first week of the season. Trae Young had 35 points. Sexton had like 4 points.
Yeah, but I mean, the kid's a rookie, and they drafted him, and he's averaging 10.9 points a game, and 2 rebounds, 2 assists. And, you know, maybe I'm crazy. Those numbers aren't that bad, right? Wasn't Lonzo Ball 10-7-7? This guy's 10, you know, 2.5, 2.5, whatever. But, I mean, they're not phenomenal numbers or anything like that. But I know you're right. I knew that story that, like, there's a divide that the young guy, you know, this draft pick, from what I'm hearing, it's like that he's cocky with them. And they're all a bunch of veterans that have played in Love and Clarkson and Hill and Hood and all those guys, Thompson, Nance, JR, you know, Korver, all Fry, all of them, like, long-term veterans. And I can't even imagine that they would put up with it if some rookie was giving them the business. I mean, can you imagine? There's, like, it's, like, 10-1 veterans. There's, like, no young players on that team, right? I mean, who's the youngest player on that team besides him? What, Sam Decker? He's been around a couple of years, right? The kid, remember, out of Wisconsin, he's moved around a little bit. So Zizek, he's young, the big center. He doesn't get any burn. He's averaging 4 a game. He doesn't play. You know, he's averaging 7 minutes a game. They're giving this Sexton guy 24.7 minutes a game. They drafted him. They got to figure out how to make that work. You can't have some kid everybody hates playing for the team. Brady in South Carolina, you're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing, Pharrell?
What's up, brother?
So, I took NC State tonight, and right. I'm a little bit in the hole.
Yeah.
All right, so I've already taken Fresno State -2.5. I'm wondering what you're thinking about that. And I have a gut feeling about Michigan State over Ohio State.
Yeah, that game's in Spartan Stadium, correct?
Okay.
It is there, right?
I think so.
Okay, so the game's in East Lansing. I still think, now maybe I'm wrong. I'm not a buyer of Michigan State. I've seen them win some games. I've seen them play. I saw them come back and beat Purdue. I thought, right? Is that about right? Wasn't it last week that Purdue came back and stole a game? Michigan State's been playing okay football. I saw Purdue went there and lost to them, right? I watched that game. So look, I don't think Michigan State's better than Ohio State this year. I think Ohio State's defense has got some serious problems. Nebraska put 31 on them. Michigan State's probably going to be in the game. I still think Ohio State has more talent, speed, everything else than Michigan State on a different level, if you ask me. I still think Ohio State's going to win that game and go into the Ohio State-Michigan game with the exact opportunity of a lifetime, that they have a one loss, embarrassingly, at Ross-Ade and West Lafayette to Purdue, but they'll bounce back, win that Eastern Division by beating Michigan in Columbus on the 24th, and then they play in a Big Ten championship against Northwestern, and they'll kick Northwestern's ass. And let me tell you another thing. Michigan can win that game. I think Michigan's the better team. I think Michigan's got the better offense right now. I think Haskins looks lost, and I'll be honest with you, Michigan's doing everything right, kicking everyone's ass, and defensively, they're better than Ohio State for sure. Ohio State's defense, in my view, went down the drain when Bosa went down. That was kind of their season problem. And then now that kid's going pro. They don't have him. Michigan can beat them. The problem with Michigan beating them is they never beat them. They can't get out of their own way when it comes to that game. I will never forget every night I mention it. O'Korn's pass out of the end zone in that game last year was the worst thing I've ever seen in any sport in my life. Bill Buckner's error was better than that. You know, that was better. Like, he was way better. Like, they rode Buckner for life and wanted him to kill himself after that ground ball went through his leg, right? But O'Korn's pass, I mean, I don't know what that guy's doing now. I'm surprised that he's not, you know, starting in the NFL, considering some of the guys that are starting in the NFL now, the Mullins and the Petermans and all the others. So why don't they have that crappy quarterback playing? No offense to the kid. I don't know him from Adam, but that was the worst play I ever saw in my life. That's what Michigan's problem is against Ohio State, that they got guys that'll make plays like that. I hate to say it, but it's true. How many times have we seen Michigan coif at the hands of Ohio State? I've been watching that for like, haven't I watched that for now like a decade straight, that nonsense? Have I not been watching them kick their ass up and down? It doesn't matter where they play them, they beat them. But I think this is Michigan's best chance. If they don't beat them now, they'll never beat them. I mean, literally, they'll never beat them. Because the revenge tour is on, and they are kicking everyone's ass. So all they have to do is finish the deal, beat Ohio State, and they're going to be playing in the national playoff no matter what happens in the Big Ten championship. As far as I'm concerned, they'll already be in it. That Big Ten championship will just be a party, and don't they play that in Indianapolis or something? That'll just be a – never mind, there won't be any parties there. It'll just be maybe a little local beer drinking.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You're listening to Pharrell on the Bench.
A left abductor strain for Steph Curry. He left that game tonight against the Bucks, and he's not coming back. And the bottom line is they're going to lose. Right? I mean, that's a done deal.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I changed my vote now. They're going to lose.
So now you're on them losing. 118-91 with 6:44 left. Anyway, I'm watching this hair commercial, very disturbing, on the basketball game.
Yeah, I'll be watching this, the end of this MLS playoff game we got going here.
And that's great.
Big finish between Seattle and Portland right now. Seattle pressing for the tying goal. In the 89th minute right now.
And what happens if they
get
it? Oh,
we got a little fight brewing out here now.
Really?
We got some unhappy players
on
the pitch.
Who's playing?
Portland and Seattle. Heavy rivalry.
Oh, heavy rivalry. And who's leading Portland?
Yes, Portland's ahead 3-2 on aggregate. This is the second leg of the playoff series. In the conference semis, they play a home and home.
Right.
And the aggregate advances to the next
so round. In the first game there must have been goals, and then tonight what's the score?
Portland won the first game 2-1 at home.
So this game is now
is in Seattle, and it's 1-1 1-1 tonight.
A 1-1.
So Portland's up 3-2 on aggregate.
So Seattle
needs
score.
A goal to send it to extra
and
time.
And what is there totally, like about 5 minutes left total with the
they just put up 6 minutes of extra
so
time.
So six.
Yeah.
Do you think they'll get it done?
I'd like to see it. I wouldn't mind some extra soccer here tonight.
Well, actually, I didn't even know there was any soccer.
This is it. You know, this is the one bad thing about the MLS, where they really need to start either lining up with all the other leagues in the around the world who basically play August to May. They don't do that in the MLS. They have to run a completely different schedule. So their season ends early November, mid-November.
So they're like, how many teams are left in the whole thing?
Oh, there's eight teams left right now.
Oh, there's eight.
This is the, you know, there's four in the East, four in the West, the conference semis.
The conference semis. And who are the other two teams?
In the West, you have Sporting KC and Real Salt Lake on the other side. And then in the Eastern Conference, the Red Bulls are playing Columbus, and NYCFC is playing Atlanta.
So both the New York and Red Bulls, both the teams from around here made it?
Correct.
And
the Red Bulls are actually the one seed in the whole MLS, I believe.
They're the number one seed in the
whole
thing.
They have the most points this year.
Are they really good?
Yeah, but this is a game. They're down 1-0 going into the second leg, which is coming up Sunday against Columbus. So they'll be home for the second
leg. So they got to win that by at least a goal.
Right. They would need to, you know, to do that.
To tie it.
They would need at least one to force extra time. They get a 2-0 win, they advance.
And they are the best team all year in the MLS?
Yes.
And then what about New York's football club? They were good, too?
Yeah, they actually won their knockout round game.
With David Villa?
They beat Philly in the
knockout round. David Villa?
David Villa.
Is he still the man on that team?
He is. He's hurt a little bit this year, but he's getting up there.
Is he playing in the playoffs?
Yes.
And have you been following this?
But I think they're going to get eliminated on Sunday.
Have you been watching the playoffs?
I watched a little bit of the game on last week between the first leg between NYCFC and Atlanta, because it was at Yankee Stadium. I threw it on. It was Sunday night, and I watched.
Oh, they're dunking on the Warriors and hanging on the rim with their onions in their face. Pat Connaughton, a good Irish boy. Did you see that give and go?
I didn't even know that he wasn't on Portland anymore.
No, watch the give and go. He's in Milwaukee now, from Portland to Milwaukee. Look at Connaughton.
Oh, Seattle! How about that?
Oh,
they're going wild at CenturyLink here. It's unbelievable.
You have no idea. They're dunking on the Warriors every other trip down now. 126-97. This is the most embarrassing loss for the Warriors in 5 years. Is it not? I mean, I have never seen this. A team just run up and down the floor on them and run them out of their own building. And, in fact, they have none of their players on the floor anymore. Do you notice that? They gave up a long time ago. They threw this game a long time ago. They're down 26.
Can you blame them?
No.
I mean, the game in the scope of things doesn't matter at all to them.
No. But they've been winning every game they play. So what does it matter, right? They're 10-1. This is their first home loss. But the Bucks are tough. They'll be 9-2. And we all know why they're tough. Because of the Greek freak. I am watching hockey as well. Carver High, Minnesota, and L.A. A little game, speaking of meaningless. A little hockey action I got going here tonight. You think I should change the channel and watch the soccer game?
They're
going
to be going into extra time.
Okay, so they will go to extra time and then penalty kicks?
If nobody scores, yeah.
And this is the deciding game?
Yeah, the winner advances to the Final Four.
All right, what channel is it on?
18, FS1.
All right, so start talking.
Okay, well, yeah, Seattle and Portland will move on here. Actually, there could be a goal coming up here with a couple minutes left. Seattle's on the move again. They're pressing for another goal here, Seattle. Anything could happen right now. Oh!
An opportunity in the box. Seattle's in the bright green.
Yes.
Portland in white. We've now changed from the hockey game, and we are watching this rowdy crowd. And is that game at Seattle?
Yes,
is
in Seattle.
And is that where the Seahawks play right there?
Yes.
Same field.
Wow. Packed to the gills.
Look at the crowd they got there.
This is a major rivalry, too. The Seattle-Portland MLS rivalry is outstanding.
Oh, there's people kicking each other in the face, too, in this game. Did you see that? They're willing to kick someone in the face. I love kicking people in the face. This is awesome. You didn't tell me about all this excitement tonight. You sneaked that in on me in the last hour. Look at the head coach. He looks like he's a little bit crazy. What's going on there? Giving the ref funny faces? Was that what I was seeing there? So what's the quality like of the teams and the games in the league? I mean, I've tried to watch it before, as you know. I've watched some New York Football Club games on the TV here. Because aren't they on Yes sometimes? I think they are. And I just can't get into it. I don't know why. It's not like watching the World Cup or...
It's not the same.
It's not like watching a Premier League at all. To me, it's not.
It's a
like
lot different.
Why is that?
It's the quality of the player isn't as good. Not even close.
Well, doesn't that... The player. I mean, but doesn't that, like, ruin it at some point?
Look, I mean, they've got... you know, they've got some C-level players and then a lot of, you know, former stars from the Premier League or European leagues who are now, you know, in their latter years finishing it out over
Haro
here.
Said they average 22,000 fans at the games.
They do an unbelievable – they get crowds, almost all the teams.
Really?
But a lot of them get huge crowds. Seattle and Portland do unbelievable.
Oh, look at this guy breaking free. We got a situation here. Crosser into the box, hot box. We got a shot.
That's it. We'll be extra time.
A little extra time here. How long do they play?
They play 30 minutes.
Now, and then the penalty kicks, they'll get into that.
Right. That's if nobody, you know, takes the lead.
So it's not like, you know, we're going to have people stuck here or whatever. You know, like when there's a big World Series game, people are complaining about having to work past 1:30.
Yeah, I don't think that that'll be an issue. I don't even know, you know.
You know we get that. You don't even have the you don't worry about us going the distance with Pharrell on the bench till 2, no problem.
Never worried.
All the action begins at 2 a.m. in the big city. Here in the big city. We just wanted to say how much bigger our city is than yours. It really is. So it is nothing. I said this last night that I was standing like right near the World Trade Center, right? And I just realized how little I was in the grand scheme of things, how little we are. Like, I'm sitting there looking at it going, look how small we are compared to this building. Like, we don't even exist. We're like a speck on the street. We're like a piece of bubble gum stuck to the road. I'm sitting there in my car and I'm like, Mavi, look how little we are compared to this, like, off in the distance, like 3 blocks away is the World Trade Center. It made us look so small, like on a Google map or something. I still can't believe I'm watching this. I still cannot believe I'm watching Milwaukee kick their ass. I thought the Warriors would win the game. I took the Bucks in the spread, though, at least. So I was excited about that. And I knew that these teams actually had a rivalry in the soccer. I did know that. I've never really... All I've seen is footage of it, right, of these rowdy fans they have in Seattle and Portland. It's the Portland. They're the ones that saw the wood and have all of that action going, the Timbers. They, like, cut the wood, and their fans go, I scored! Oh, this is replay-itis. What a beautiful play that was off the header. And then, that was like a bicycle kick.
Whoops.
There. Anyway, replay-itis. Sometimes I get caught up in all the replays and butcher it. So Seattle, it's 3-3 on aggregate. That's why that's correct, right? That's why, since it's 3-3, that's why they got to have
extra time.
So if someone scores, they win the series.
Well, they play out the 30 minutes no matter what. There's no golden goal.
Oh, so the goal won't end it.
Right. They no matter what, they play it out the whole thing.
So they'll play the 30 minutes.
Right. They'll do 15 and 15. They'll break in the
middle. This is a tremendous bit of news coming in here to save our show at the end. Getting into that, you know, Blue Lagoon hour to have this, you know, not only this team playing for the world, both of these teams, but having guys with dyed hair on the field. See the guy with the blonde hair? I'm not feeling that's his natural color.
Probably not.
No, it appears that he's done some kind of coloring job.
Got the Beckham look going.
Yeah, rocking the Beckham. I'll never forget when I was down in Miami at the H&M store shopping with 34C, and David Beckham has his own, like, line of clothing in there at H&M. I was like, I thought this was like a chick store. Next thing I know, they got all these men's clothes in there, too. Like, at least in Miami, they do. When I go to the ones here in Jersey for 34C or whatever, there's no men's clothes. Is there men's clothes in there? Come on.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff in H&M.
Really?
I have stuff from there, yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Mafia.
It's like a whole second side to the store. You go on one side or the other.
Mafia fashion icon. He goes to Fashion Week.
I dabble every now and then. I don't have good style, but I'll get some. I get a taste of style from time to time.
When do they do that Fashion Week? Is it in the spring or something?
I think it is, although we were just passing some kind of Victoria's Secret fashion show when we were driving in here.
I didn't notice that. I was trying
to notice all the giant, like, the SUVs and the trucks right before the boats there.
No, because I was too busy worrying about the traffic jam you got me in, and also trying not to get in a fist fight.
Well, before that, there was you know, the buildings on the port there. There was a bunch of them. They had all lit up on the front of the building. It said, you know, 2008 Victoria's Secret Fashion.
Oh, well, how far is that from us right now? A stone's throw?
40 blocks.
40 blocks?
Midtown.
So if I went up there right now, do you think I'd have a chance of getting any leg?
You might. I might be fishing up around now. Go hit the after parties with them?
Shake it. That's my middle name, Pharrell. After
party. With the Angels?
Charlie's Angels.
No, no, no. Those are tame compared to Victoria's Secret
Angels. Listen, don't ever make fun of Farrah Fawcett, dude.
She was hot.
When she was young, she was smoke show hottie. She's hot now, and she's like old, right? She's still hot. I think she's got like a horse farm or something in California. Have you ever seen her? She's got like this whole ranch thing going. She's still hot, man. Question is, you think she digs for a breakaway here with Portland? Oh, Nelly. So they played at 30 minutes. Doesn't even matter if someone scores. But Portland putting on an effort here to score. Oh, what a save by the goalie. And he ran into the post and split his head open. That really didn't happen.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.